Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles, can you turn to Psalm 116? Psalm 116. And then really quick, before I get into the message, just want to thank Pastor for preaching the word every Sunday faithfully and then allowing us men to stand in the pulpit. It truly is an honor to be in the pulpit behind a man of God like you. So thank you. A lot of times in life and a lot of times, you know, in your Bible reading, God really just hits you. And this Sunday, God really just hit me with the passages that we're going to look at today. You know, going through the book of Psalms, I'm going through day by day. You know, on the 16th, I hit Psalm 116. So I'm trying to go through it, you know, progressionally trying to finish the book of Psalms. But Sunday, as I said, something really stuck out to me. And it begins in verse number 1. And the Bible says, I love the Lord. And that morning, Sunday morning, as I was reading that, it really hit me. Why do I love the Lord? Why do I love him? Why does he mean so much to me? And then I read the rest of the verses, and I got to see a glimpse in the psalm writer's life as to why he loves God and to why we love God and why it's so, why it's such a blessed privilege and such an awesome privilege to be a child of God and to say and to proclaim that you love him. So the question I have for you tonight, and the question I want you to think about all throughout this message is, why do you love the Lord? Why do you love him? Why does he mean so much to you? So we'll pray, we'll read, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to fully know what a privilege, what an honor that is, what a miracle it took for you to do that for us. And Lord, I ask that tonight you would just still our minds, that you would still our hearts, that you would allow just one thing to focus our minds, and that is you. Lord, remove every distraction. Lord, every circumstance that we're facing. Lord, every hard trial that we face today. And Lord, help us to focus on you. Lord, because you're all that matters right now. And Lord, would you hide each and every one of us behind the cross of Christ? I pray, Lord, that our flesh would have no influence over what you want to do tonight and how you want to work tonight. And Lord, I pray that as your messenger, that you would help me, that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. And Lord, that you would use me mightily tonight to relay the message that you laid on my heart. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we promise to give you the glory, the praise, and to lift up your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Psalm 116, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. And as I said before, our focus tonight is going to be on that phrase in verse number 1. I love the Lord. To profess something means to make an open declaration, to declare in strong terms. So how about you tonight declare in strong terms, declare in a mighty way that you love the Lord. And so this is what I want you guys to focus, and this is what I want you guys to think about tonight. How much do you love the Lord and how much he means to you? And not only that, think about your response to loving him. Think about what it demands from your life. Think about what it demands from every part of your being, your love for the Lord. And I thought about this as well. Love is grown by experience. I mean, I love tacos because I've experienced the tacos. Just plain and simple, love is grown by experience. And every day we have the blessed opportunity to experience God, to experience his fullness, to experience him working in our life. And this psalmist is just professing his love by the time that he spent with God, by the time that he allowed God to work in his heart, by the time God answered prayer in his life, by the time God showed himself mighty in his life, he was able to profess his love for God. How about you tonight? Are you in that place where you're saying, God, you're everything that I want. God, you're everything that I need. Take me deeper in my relationship with you. Probably the one of the most precious books that I ever had in my life is this book. Brother Schreiber gave it to me when I went off to Bible college. And throughout Bible college, I would read this, and it would be such a blessing to me in my life. And I just want to read you one of these prayers of these men of God. It says this: Lord Jesus, give me a deeper repentance, a horror of sin, a dread of its approach. Help me chastely to flee it, and jealously to resolve that my heart shall be thine alone. Give me a deeper trust that I may lose myself to find myself in thee, the ground of my rest and the spring of my being. Give me a deeper knowledge of thyself as Savior, Master, Lord, and King. Give me a deeper power. Give me deeper power in private prayer, more sweetness in thy word, more steadfast grip on its truth. Give me deeper holiness in speech, thought, action, and let me not seek moral virtue apart from thee. Plow deep in me, great Lord, heavenly husbandman, that my being may be tilled a field, the roots of grace spreading far and wide, until thou alone art seen in me. Thy beauty golden like summer harvest, thy fruitfulness as autumn plenty. I have no master but thee, no law but thy will, no delight but thyself, no wealth but that thou givest, no good but that thou bestowest, no peace but that thou bestowest. I am nothing but that thou makest me. I have nothing but that I receive from thee. I can be nothing but that grace adorns me. Quarry me deep, Lord, and then fill me to overflowing with living water. So allow God to plow deep in your heart tonight and to really ask yourself the question, do I love the Lord and why do I love the Lord? So we're going to break this verse down, this chapter down of Psalm 116 and figure out 13 reasons why the psalmist says he loves the Lord. So we begin reading in verse number 1. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So we come to the first reason why the psalmist loved the Lord. And he says, because he hears and answers my prayers. He hears and answers my cries. I mean, isn't it a blessed thing to have God not only listen to you, but hear and answer your cries? I mean, I don't have to go into detail in your prayer life. I don't have to go into detail of how you're crying out to God in the closet. But can you imagine the God of the universe is bowing his ear down to your prayers? He's bowing your ear down to the problems that you're facing, the supplications, and he's listening to you. I mean, just think about it in the grand scheme of things. Think about it in the big picture, how this God that created everything on this planet is willing to listen to us. And think about how minute your problems are compared to everything else. I mean, think about how minute your problems are to creating this world. And that same God is willing to listen to you because he's that good, because he's that caring, because he loves you that much. And so we can all go to the verse, we love God because he first loved us. But there are reasons why we could proclaim, there are reasons why we could tell this world that we love God. And that serving God is amazing, that living for God is amazing, that being of a child of God is amazing because of these things. So the psalmist says, because he hears and answers my prayers and my cries. Suffice it to say, there are a lot of times in life where we're just crying out to God. Suffice it to say, there's a lot of times in our life where we're just crying and we're just saying, God, help me. God, deliver me. God, strengthen me. And what happens every single time? I mean, sometimes you may have to wait a little bit, but every single time, God is there for you. God is ready to listen to you. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is. It doesn't matter if, hey, it's in the middle of the night. God is always there to listen to us. He's always there to hear us. It always amazes me that when you're facing things, you try to text people, they don't text back. You try to call people, they don't call you back. But you just ring heaven one time, and God's always there to listen. So the psalmist says, first of all, that he loves God because God hears and answers his prayers. Secondly, we see that he loves God because he gets me out of the trouble I find myself in. And if we're all transparent tonight, we could all say, I'm guilty of finding trouble. And if I'm not trying to find trouble, trouble always finds me. In verse number 3, the psalmist says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And this is the amazing part about God. God is sinless. God is perfect. But he takes us out of the muck and mire that we find ourselves in. And I mean, can you imagine that shepherd that is sent there, that is simply just in the pasture taking care of all the sheep, and that dumb sheep goes and finds itself in that mud hole, and that shepherd didn't have anything to do with that sheep in the mud hole, and that shepherd comes, picks that sheep out of the mud hole, and he gets him out of that trouble that sheep has found himself in. And that's just the amazing part about who God is. That when we get into trouble, when we find ourselves in trouble, he's always there to bring us out of the muck and mire that we find ourselves in, that we get ourselves in. And I mean, it amazes me on a daily basis how wicked I am, how sinful I am. But he's always there to help me, to get me out of the trouble. The psalmist says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And I say tonight, the only one that can help you out of the trouble, the only one that can help you out of that sorrow is God himself. Amen. So first of all, God hears and answers our prayer, and that's the first reason why we're to love him. Secondly, we see that because he gets me out of the trouble I find myself in. And then this is where it gets good, because he is so gracious, he is kind. If you go over to verse number four, it says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Then he says in verse number 5, gracious is the Lord. I mean, isn't the Lord gracious? And so what does that word gracious mean? What does it mean to show forth grace? And it means to impart unmerited blessing. God giving me what I don't deserve. And so I have a simple question for you tonight. Do you deserve salvation? Do you deserve the blessings that God gives you? Do you deserve to be alive tonight? Every one of those show forth God's graciousness to you, imparting something that you do not deserve. And so a lot of times in life we think, man, I deserve this, I deserve this, I deserve that. But what do we truly deserve? We truly deserve to spend eternity in hell apart from God. That's what we deserve. But God is so gracious, God is so loving, God is so kind that he doesn't give us what he deserves. But he imparts to us unmerited blessings each in every day. I mean, you wake up and God loads you with blessings. You go throughout the day, God loads you with blessings. When you go to bed, God loads you with blessings. God is consistently being gracious in your life. And you love him because he's gracious to you. You love him because he's kind to you. I mean, go back to the Old Testament, go back to the New Testament, and see God pour out his wrath on those that have done him wrong. See God pour out his wrath on those that have sinned against him. Yet God is gracious. God is kind to us. So number one, we love God because he hears and answers our prayers. Number two, we love God because he gets me out of the trouble that I find myself in. Number three, I love God because he's gracious, he's kind, he imparts unmerited blessings to me. Number four, I love God because he is righteous. The psalmist says in verse number five, the Lord, gracious is the Lord and righteous. And I just love this, that God is always just. Always just. God is always pure. He is perfection. I mean, you think about everyone on this planet is so filled with sin. Everyone on this planet is bent towards sin, bent towards doing wrong. But you have one being in this universe that has never done anything wrong, that has never done anybody wrong, who is perfect, who's sinless. And we have the opportunity to call him our Abba Father. We have the opportunity to call him Dad. We have the opportunity to call him our Lord God. And there is no way that we can be righteous apart from him. Because he is righteousness. He is perfection. He is holiness. And that's the God that we serve. And if any other reason why we should love God is because he is holy, he is high and lifted up. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's holy. He's righteous. He's a just God. Then we come to reason number five. Because he is merciful. Verse number five, gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. So what does it mean to be merciful? Being merciful means that God has pity and he withholds what I deserve. And so we touched on this in God being gracious just a little bit, but God withholding what I deserve in the payment of my sins. God sending forth Jesus to pay for my sins on the cross. I mean, isn't that merciful? I mean, isn't God full of mercy not giving us what I deserve? Become the reason number six, because he preserves me. Verse number six, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. And I begin to think about what that word simple means. It means to be weak. It means that you have no ability in and of yourself to think for yourself. It means that you are lowly. That's what it means to be simple. And the psalmist said, the Lord preserveth the simple. And I begin to think about in my life, how I am weak, how I don't know anything. I begin to think how oftentimes I faint, how oftentimes I'm ready to throw in the towel. But every single time, God's there to preserve me. God's there to help me. God's there to sustain me. God's there to allow, give me the strength that I need to keep pressing on. And how can I keep going and not grow weary? It's only by the strength that he gives me. That's the only way I can keep going on. That's the only way that we can keep going on in this life. That's the only way we can keep going on in the Christian life is only by his power, only by his strength. And I ask myself the question, how could someone be faithful in ministry for 60, 70 years without throwing in the towel? I mean, think about all that they face in ministry. I mean, the problem with ministry is people. Think about the people that, you know, have wronged them, the people who have did this and that against them. How could you stay in love with the ministry? And it's because God preserves you. Think about being a Christian for 30, 40 years. How could you keep walking with the Lord for that long? Because the Lord preserves you. I mean, think about your family members, maybe your children away from the Lord. Maybe, you know, you're the only Christian in your family. How could you keep going on? And it's because the Lord preserves you. I mean, think about you're working in a place where everybody is just ungodly, saying ungodly jokes. I mean, and you're wrapped up in that place. And I mean, you go to work, you hate going to that place. I mean, you're just like, God, take me out of this place. How do you get through? It's only by his grace. It's only by his strength. And this one hits home. in this wicked world with everything that is going on around you? How can you get up in the morning, read your Bible? How could you get up in the morning, spend time with the Lord? How could you wake up and have that blessed hope? The only reason is because the Lord preserves you. He's the one that sustains you. And you ought to love the Lord for the sixth reason, because he preserves you, because he sustains you, because he gives you that strength. Then we come to number 7, and that's found in verse number 6. The second part says, I was brought low and he helped me. What the psalmist says there is, I love the Lord because he lifts me up. I mean, how many of you guys have been in that place where, I mean, you're just on your back, it seems. I mean, it just seems like the weight of the world is just crashing down upon you. I mean, you can't even lift up your head, let alone your heart. And all of a sudden you have this God that lifts you up, that takes you out of that place of depression, that takes you out of that place of discouragement, to singing hallelujahs, to praising him, to worshiping him, because he lifts you up. And Sunday, when I was thinking about this, and when I was studying for this, just thinking about how good God is and thinking about how many times in my life I've been so down and so in the dumps, and then one prayer, one verse lifts me up. Going to church, man, my heart is just lifted up, because that's how good God is. Reason number 8, and that's found in verse number 7. It says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. So the eighth reason why we love God is because he gives me rest. He allows peace to come to my heart. He allows calmness to come to me. And I mean, how many of you guys have been in that situation where it just seems like there's just chaos going on around you? It just seems like your world is just turned upside down, but you have peace. You have calmness. And the best way to describe this is, can you imagine the disciples walking on the water, and you have this wind very boisterous, and then you have Peter walking on the water. And that's what it's like. All this stuff going on around you, and you're just focused on one person, and that person's name is Jesus. Amen. And that is the most amazing feeling in the world. And then you have people around you asking, how could you have such peace when this is going on? How could you have such peace when you have cancer? How could you have such peace when you have health struggles going on? And you can give them the testimony that God is the one that gives me peace. God is the one that is allowing my heart to be calm. God is the one that is helping me through this. And declare, hey, I love the Lord because God gives me peace. He allows my soul to rest. You know, many people try different things to bring their soul rest. Drugs, alcohol, you name it. There's only one thing that could bring rest. And that's Jesus. We come to reason number 9. And that's found in the latter part of verse number 7. It says, for the Lord have dealt bountifully with me. So the reason number 9, the psalmist says he loves God because God blesses him abundantly. God is generous in bestowing his gifts and bestowing his favor. And I have one simple question for you tonight. Well, a couple of simple questions for you. How many of you guys ate today? How many of you guys have a place to live? I mean, I can go on and on about all the bountiful blessings that God has given you today. I mean, you didn't have to worry about those things. God provided those things for you because he's so gracious. Man, how many of you guys are alive in this room? I mean, how many of you guys have health? How many of you guys have your eyes? So on and so forth, because God is daily loading you with his benefits, daily loading with his bountiful blessings, and his favor is upon you. And this is the most amazing thing that I was thinking about this week. God's hand of favor is upon you. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe that created everything, the God that can do anything, that can do the impossible, his hand of favor is directing you. His hand of favor is guiding you. His hand of favor is opening doors for you. His hand of favor allows you to have the job that you have. His hand of favor allows you to wake up in the morning every single day, because he's that good, because he's that mighty, and because he loves us that much. Then we come to reason number 10. And that's found in verse number 8. The psalmist says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And what the psalmist says here is, you delivered my soul from hell. From the payment for my sins. Destined to a place called hell. And I mean, isn't it so awesome? Isn't it so blessed that you don't have to spend 1 second, 1 millisecond in that place called hell? Because that's how good God is. I mean, think about the miracle it took for God to do that. To take your black soul and to turn it white as snow. To take you from that place called hell to that place called heaven. To take you from life, I mean from death to life. To be able to do that in your life. And if I say tonight, if I don't say any other reason that points to you for the reason why you should love God, you should love God because He delivered you from that dreadful place. Reason number 11, because He delivers my eyes from tears. And that's found in verse number 8 as well. Mine eyes from tears. Thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears. And I mean, can you imagine one day there's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. And the Bible says that God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. But not only is that going to happen, but God does that. I mean, think about when you're weeping. Think about when you're crying. And then the Holy Spirit just comforts you. And it just seems as if God is just wiping away your tears. And how do we describe that? We describe it as joy. God gives us so much joy. So much happiness. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Because He allows us to serve Him. He allows us to be called His children. He helps us in our time of desperation. He helps us in our time of need. God gives us joy. And our joy is found in Him. And I'm so glad that our joy is not found in our circumstances. Our joy is not found in what we do for God. But it's only in Him. It's only because He loves us. It's only because we are in Him. And it's only because we love Him. Reason number 12 is, because He keeps my feet from falling. And that's found in the latter part of verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And so what the psalmist is saying here is, you keep me away from sin. You keep me away from stumbling. You allow my feet to be like hind's feet. To be able to stand on the mountain. That's what the psalmist is saying. God is preserving me. God is delivering me from the power of sin. And if you go down to verse number 16, he says, thou hast loosed my bonds. And I mean, this is so amazing that God is not only good enough to deliver us from sin, but He's also good enough to keep us from sin. To keep us in love with Him. And then this is the most amazing part, that sin no longer has any power or dominion over us, but we're free through Christ to serve Christ. So if you're here tonight and you're struggling, realize that Christ has set you free from those bonds of sin. And you can be free. And you are free. But it just takes you reckoning it. It takes you believing it. It takes you accounting that God has delivered you from sin. Then we come to reason number 13. The reason why the psalmist says that he loves God, and this is the last one, and that's found in verse number 11. The psalmist says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. The psalmist says, the last reason why the psalmist says that he loves God is because He's the only one that I can trust. In God, I cannot be disappointed. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. All men are fickle and inconsistent, but God is always faithful. I thought about in my life how many times my heart was broken, how many times I was disappointed because man let me down. And I tell you, that is a lot of times. I mean, I lost count how many times man has let me down. Then I looked in the mirror, how many times I have let my own self down. I mean, just think about this psalmist. We're not sure of who it is, but put it in light of David. Think about when he was being attacked by Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. No one could help him. No one could deliver him. Think about Samuel promising him the kingdom. And he's wondering, God, you said that, hey, I'm going to be the next king. God, what are you doing? Think about his son trying to kill him, Absalom. Think about everything that David faced. And David said, all men are liars. And then think about in your life, the people that have let you down. The people that you poured your heart out to. They didn't listen to you. They didn't want to listen to you. But every single time you cry out to God, he's always there. He's always faithful to listen to us. He's always good. And I want you to think about in your minds right now, think about one time that God has ever let you down. One time. And I'll be the first to say, I can never think of a time that God has ever let me down. Left me hanging, left me high and dry. Not one time. He's always been there for me. He's always been good to me. He's always been faithful to me. And then look at yourself. Think about in your heart how many times you've let yourself down. Think about how your heart deceived you. But God is faithful. God is good. God is merciful. He always is. Always is. In God, I cannot be disappointed. So I leave you with this point. What is your trust in? Is your trust in man or is your trust in God? I mean, is your entire being in man or is your entire being in God? You know, we can do an assessment on our hearts. We can do an assessment on our lives and figure out what we love more. I mean, I love the Raiders. Many of you guys in this room hate the Raiders. I love tacos. I love my wife. I love my family. But compared to God, they're nothing. Compared to God, it seems like I don't love them. And I would ask you tonight, is that where you're at? I mean, are you in the position where you're not ashamed to call God your God? Are you in the position where you're just overflowing to profess God, I mean, to profess unto others God's goodness? I mean, you're so quick to share what God is doing in your heart, what God is doing in your life, because you love him that much. Worship is a thankful response and not a repayment for what God has done. And so what I mean is this. From this passage we saw the reason why the psalmist loved God. He gave 13 reasons why he loved God. But love always demands a response, does it not? Love always demands action. And so I have 5 things for you tonight that are the so what of the message. That are the things that you can take home and apply to your life. Number one, the psalmist said in verse number 2, he said, therefore will I call. Therefore will I call. So what does that mean for us tonight? Keep praying. Keep spending time with God. Keep calling. Because you love him. The second response that the psalmist had is, he says, I will pay my vows. And that simply means, God, what I owe you, God, I'm going to give you. And so let me ask you a question. What do you owe God? Your life. God, I'm going to repay you my life. The third thing that the psalmist says, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And this is simply what that means. The psalmist says, I've been given this new life. God has given me a new life. God has given me a new heart, a new body. And I'm going to continue to walk in the land of the living. I'm going to continue to walk in that newness of life. because I love God. Thirdly, the psalmist says, I will offer thanksgiving. God, thank you so much for what you've done for me. I'm just going to continually thank you and thank you and thank you. And then lastly, the psalmist says, in verse number 13, he says, I will take the cup of salvation. And I'm not going to lie, this really baffled me. I was looking at this like, what does this mean? I will take the cup of salvation. Really quick, before we even get to that, look at verse number 16. The psalmist says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. And I can just imagine a psalmist going through this prayer. And then he just gets so excited and says, God, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Do whatever you want with me. Take me. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. And that's exactly what he's talking about with the cup of that salvation. God, whatever you give me, I'll drink. God, whatever you give me, I'll take it. Because I love you. Because I know you're going to do me no harm. Because I know it's your will. God, grow me. God, help me. God, deliver me. And you know that God is not going to wrong you. You know that God is always going to be faithful toward you. And you know that the cup of salvation is not there to hurt you, but you know it's there to make you better, to make you more like him. So what did the psalmist say in closing? He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So how about you tonight? Is your heart ready to make that profession of faith? I mean, to make that profession of love to God. I mean, is your heart primed and ready for that? Does God mean that much to you? Do you love God that much? And I would say this, that it's not for show, but it's for service. Your heart is just saying, God, just use me. God, I'm yours. You're not ashamed, but you're in amazement. You're in amazement of who he is. You're in awe of what a God that he is, what a mighty God he is. And I would say lastly tonight that it's not out of duty, but it's out of devotion. I mean, you love him so much, you're just ready to give him everything. You're ready to devote all yourself to him, every part of your being. So how about you tonight? Do you love the Lord? How much do you love him? How much does he mean to you? I close with this. We look at the word agape. We look at what it means. Total giving, sacrificial love. And so if I were to ask you the question, does God love you? We would all say, yes, God loves us. How do we know that God loves us? Totally gave, sacrificing everything. If I was to ask you the question, does God love the world? We would point to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no question God loves the world. He gave himself, total giving, sacrificial love. So if I ask you tonight the question, do you, based upon that definition of love, do you love God? Total giving, sacrificially. Do you love God the same way that he loves you? And not only that, do you love the world the same way that God loves the world? Total giving sacrificially. I mean, you don't care about your time. You don't care about the way that they dress. But you love God. I mean, you love the world the same way that God loves the world. Total giving sacrificial agape love. Not trying to get anything in return. But because you love God. Because he means so much to you. Let's pray. Lord, we profess tonight that you are the apple of our eye, that you are the mighty King, that you are the Lord of Lords, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Lord, we proclaim that you are the Lily of the Valley. Lord, we proclaim that you are the beginning and the end. And Lord, we proclaim that we love you. We love you so much. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves sacrificially, wholeheartedly to you. Lord, because of what you've done for us, because you loved us. We love you because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would just be turned to you. I pray, Lord, that nothing else in this world would matter but you. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for our wandering hearts, our wandering eyes. Lord, we're so quick to ponder. So Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would deliver us, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for the message, for speaking to my heart, God. And Lord, I profess I don't love you the way that I should. Forgive me. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.